Okay, it looks like the ISDN line is working now.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Perfect. Perfect.
All right.
Okay.
Hey.
Okay, I think we can get things started off the right way now.
So did we do the... So I'm all confused about what the audience heard and what it didn't. Did it hear the good morning jingle?
It heard it like a tin can from 5 miles away.
Okay, well then let's do it the right way, okay? Let's see if we can do it. Let's see if we can do it the right way here.
Good morning.
Is that good?
Sounds good.
A brighter right. day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSVO Radio.
I forgot what I said 3 minutes ago, but welcome to the Saturday special, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, hey. All right. We're going to talk about something that I think will interest the entire audience. And if it doesn't, then it won't be the first time I misguessed. But stay with us for the next 2 hours, and we think you will enjoy yourselves, okay?
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSVO Radio.
Does that special fanfare music make you feel impotent like it makes me feel when they play it right before I'm going to come on?
Are you asking me?
Well, no, I'm asking our guest, and he won't answer.
I don't see why I should make you feel like that.
Hey, do you recognize that voice, Dave?
Yeah, that's Richard, isn't it?
It's Richard Jenks, who does the 2 minutes with Richard Jenks on our Noon Balloon program. It kicks off our Noon Balloon program every weekday on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Richard, during the 1970s, was the president of the CBS Broadcast Group. Yes, the CBS Broadcast Group. I mean, technically, he was Walter Cronkite's boss back then, and technically... He would have been Edward R. Murrow's boss. Was he still with the network then, Richard?
No. Ed had left in the early 60s.
Uh-huh. So you got to know him, but it was in the days before you were president of the network,
it
right?
It was, very uh-huh. much so.
Right. So anyhow, earlier this week, we lost Frank Stanton, who was a linchpin. I mean, is right up there with Paley in CBS, right?
Right. Well, Frank was the heart and soul of CBS. He was there for ever since, between 1938 and 1973. And he was the heart and soul of the company. Mr. Paley was often away for months at a time. Paley knew the company inside out, had hired most of the key people in it. And he had a doctorate in psychology from Ohio State University, had been a poor boy from a small Midwest town who wanted to be a doctor, but his family couldn't afford to send him to medical school, so he became a psychology doctorate instead, which was very useful to him at CBS.
A what doctorate?
He liked to be called Dr. Frank Stanton.
Right, but he was a doctor of...
He was a doctor of psychology.
Psychology, I see.
And that led him into interesting methods of measuring radio audiences, which is what brought him to CBS, because that was in the days when nobody really knew how to measure an audience. But he brought that with him, and then Mr. Paley recognized his quality, and gradually he made the climb up and finally became president. And he, I would say he was more responsible for the excellence of American broadcasting than any other single human being.
Really? What a statement.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Well, he was serious about it. He cared about it. He was bright. He hired bright people like himself who were serious. Somebody once told me, not referring to me in particular, that you could staff a small liberal arts college out of the people Stanton had hired at CBS.
My gosh. So let's talk about the heyday of CBS. Would you agree that these days don't even come close to having that word be apt or descriptive?
Well, yeah, they don't come close, and they don't come close for two reasons. First of all, during the heyday of CBS, CBS ratings were in the stratosphere. And in the evening, CBS got close to half of all radio and television viewers. Today, even a very popular television network program, due to the competition of cable and satellite and the Internet, gets only a relatively small proportion, less than half.
What's changed, in your opinion?
Well, what's changed, lots of things have changed. Culturally, we've gotten much looser, more reckless, more pornographic, if you please, more addicted to sexually oriented material, less addicted to news. I mean, young people really don't watch or listen to radio or television news much at all, just as they don't read newspapers.
And you think the Internet has something to do with that?
Internet has a lot to do with it. At least it does for my grandchildren. I try to urge them to read newspapers, and they say, why should we? We can find out everything we want on the Internet. And I say to them,
on demand, and saving trees to boot.
And I say to them, how do you know what you want to find out? If you do know what you want to find out, then you can find it on the Internet. If you don't know what it is you ought to know, you can't find that on the Internet very well.
Well, all right. We got a caller, and we haven't even put out the phone numbers. We haven't even invited phone calls yet, but let's put our caller on because it's none other than Serial Faxer. Hello, Serial Faxer. You're on the air.
Happy New Year, gentlemen.
Fine. I mean, that's not... You didn't ask how we were. We said, fine that you said that.
But...
Fumbling
hey,
around.
Counts, right?
Right. How are you, Serial?
Just fine. And I've got a question for your esteemed guest, and I'm hoping he can answer for me because I have more... This sounds really mundane, but I have more interest in this answer to this question than, like, the Kennedy, what happened with Kennedy or assassination or anything. Here's my question. Sir, do you remember that controversy that Dan Rather got in when they kidnapped him?
Yes, vaguely.
And do you remember that he said they kidnapped him, they pulled him in an alley, and they said, what's the frequency, Kenneth? You remember that?
I don't remember that, no.
Oh, darn. I was hoping you could tell me the behind the scenes. What do people in CBS think really happened in that whole little escapade?
I'm really not equipped to... First of all, I was not at CBS at the time of that escapade.
Serial. I'm sorry. Serial. Maybe you can... Do you remember it? I mean...
No. I was out here in California. All I knew about it is what I read in the papers.
I see.
Serial, I don't even remember that.
Well, in case... for the people that don't remember it, he apparently was walking from his limo into CBS one morning... And he was grabbed by a group of guys in overcoats and trench coats and all, and hats. And they dragged him to an alley, and they beat him up. And they said, when they were holding him down, they asked him, what's the frequency, Kenneth?
And what year was that?
I would say it was probably mid 80s.
Okay, so he was already well into hosting the evening news after taking over the reins from Cronkite.
Yeah, he was you know one of the big icons in the news at that time, and it got kind of glossed over. And I've always wondered what it was, if it was like a Morton Downey Jr. thing when he went and said he got mugged and all for attention. I've always wanted to know if anybody has a theory or anything. Maybe sometime they could let me know. But sorry to ask a question that's kind of a dud there. But
sorry to disappoint you. I was 10 years away from CBS at that time in the mid-'80s, so I don't know what was going on there, and I knew rather well when I was with CBS.
Did you know rather well?
Okay.
No, wait a second. Serial.
Yeah.
You might as well stay on the phone. Well, you could listen, because if your question didn't work with Richard, mine will for sure. Okay? Now, you remember a few weeks ago when I read an email from Dick Smothers Jr., who was who was pretty upset with our right wing radio station and my mother's commentaries in particular.
Dick Smothers Jr., the porn star.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know if he still is, but I know that he got into that at one point.
Right. Pardon the pun.
And he is a listener. He is an occasional listener, at least was an occasional listener to KSCO. And his letter was so delightfully amusing that I really wanted him to. I invited him to call and come on the radio program, and he sent me back an email saying, "Hey, you know, I'm long past the point of being on the radio as someone's guest without getting seriously compensated or something like
really?
That."
Really?
So, yeah, that led me to ask Richard, with whom I had lunch, sometime during the next few days. What the inside story behind the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour was. Did he have anything to do with the cancellation of that? And Richard said to me...
I said I had most to do with it. I am in the industry regarded as the person who canceled out the Smothers Brothers.
Yeah, you pulled the switch. Okay, and why did you pull the switch? And that's the story that I felt was just fascinating, because you're... What you told me the reason was not what everybody thinks. And before you tell me, what do you think the reason is, Serial, that the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour was canceled from CBS?
Weren't they kind of edgy and kind of politically taboo at that point? Anti-war things or something?
Oh, I don't know about anti-war. They were kind of... They were certainly on the left side of the political spectrum, but that wasn't the reason they were canceled. They were canceled because they refused to furnish their material in time for our affiliates to clear it. And in other words, they didn't really want anybody to see in advance what they were going to do. We also regarded them as in the area of promoting the use of drugs, particularly pot, which we didn't care for. So that was in the background, perhaps. But the main reason was that they had decided simply they weren't going to cooperate with us in allowing our clearance procedures and our affiliates' clearance procedures to work.
So what do you think about that, Serial?
Wow. That's dumb. Because that was really a big happening at that time. That's interesting to get the behind the scenes from the main player in that one.
Yeah, I would love to get Tom and Dick on with you, Richard. Would you? I mean, that'd be so cool.
They live within earshot of the station, right?
I don't know about earshot. Dick used to live in Santa Cruz. He hasn't for many years. I mean, Dick Smothers Jr.'s and his father.
Like a winery of North. Oh, I guess they look a little out of earshot, huh?
Well, you can hear us in Napa County a little bit.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So, no, that would be great.
Great if the kid called in. Be good for the show today.
I know. It definitely would. So,
well, Happy New Year, you guys.
You too.
Very interesting.
Thanks, Serial.
Happy New Year to you.
All right. So, what about the – first of all, let me ask you some questions. You've been doing 2 minutes with Richard Jenks now for several months. About
6 months.
Is it that long?
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, that's right. We started right about – when Phil Hendry retired, and we put your program, your essay on, your audio essay, as it were, originally was put on our afternoon happy hour program, which was brand new then. And after a while, we decided that we would move it up into the noon balloon hour, which had a more established audience because it was a much more mature program on KSCO. And what do? You record you record these things with Bill Graff five at a time, don't you?
Five at a time, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I've been doing this ever since about July 20th.
Oh, okay. Do you enjoy doing this? It's sort of a neat outlet for you to...
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's, you know, it's a like all these things that one has to do regularly, it's kind of a hard master. You've got to get it done. And
what's the hardest part about it?
Hardest part about it is the brevity of each piece.
Yeah.
It's easy to sit down and write a page or two about some subject. It's hard to take the page or two and melt it down to approximately 20 typewritten lines.
Right. Yeah, that's got to be sort of hard, huh?
Yeah.
So
if you have to be as concise as that, it doesn't give you an opportunity to put in a whole lot of verbiage to weasel out of your opinions.
Mm-hmm. I would be very curious as to the... we've never asked this before. We've never put it out on the radio. I mean, we get some comments occasionally on all our programming, but I've never specifically asked the audience to comment on your comments. So why don't we do that today? Just if anybody wants to contribute a comment or maybe single out a particular... 2 minutes with Richard that they is particularly memorable. We invite you to give us a call here on the Saturday special at 479-1080. You can email mz@ksco.com. You can do that anytime, but if you do that during the program today, I will be monitoring the computer here and pick it up and hopefully read it and we can go for it from. We can answer the question if it's a question or read the comment if it is a comment. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. MZ on the Saturday special, which is an audience participation interview program. We're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon. Our special guest today is Richard Jenks, who does 2 minutes with Richard. Those of you who listen to the Noon Bloon will be familiar with that. And... Richard has an interesting and colorful background in the 1970s, and before he was associated with, more than associated with, he actually ran the CBS broadcast group. It was in charge of all of the radio and television networks. And was it the owned and operated radio stations as well and television stations,
and the
Richard?
Television stations and CBS News.
Yeah.
And our motion picture enterprise.
So, I mean, that's pretty darn, I mean, what was your typical day? I mean, was there such thing as a typical day?
There wasn't such thing.
You probably never dealt with listeners or viewers, right? You were probably too high up on the corporate ladder.
Well, I got occasional letters from listeners and viewers, especially listeners and viewers who happen to be senators or congressmen or other power figures.
Who were upset? Generally?
Oh, sometimes upset, sometimes pleased.
Uh-huh. And did anybody ever want you to do something that you didn't want to do?
No, frequently.
Example?
Oh, gosh. I don't know that I can give you an example just pulled out of the air.
Well, you want to think about it, and we'll, in the meantime, while you're thinking about it, we can take Neil and Hollister's phone call. Hey, Neil, you're on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen. I wanted to ask a follow-up question of Mr. Jenks concerning the dismissal of the Smothers Brothers. It, in my mind, in my memory, I should say, stands that number of years.
We keep losing you here. Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Neil, try it again. Just ask the question again. I'm sorry.
I'm calling concerning the
Smothers Brothers.
Of the Smothers Brothers.
Right.
My memory, if my memory serves correctly, some years after the fact, the Smothers Brothers initiated a legal suit against CBS for some form of wrongful dismissal, and I thought they won many millions of dollars. Does Mr. Jenks remember anything about that?
Well, I know they did sue for a wrongful dismissal, or to put it another way, they sued because they thought their contract was breached by us, and I think they did collect some money. I don't think they were right in their suit, but I think it was correct for us to try to get rid of them at the cheapest price available.
So there was an out-of-court settlement?
I believe it was an out-of-court settlement. I didn't participate in it, but I believe it was an out-of-court settlement.
And the other question I had concerned Dan Rather. I understand that he was angry about something and walked off the set, and CBS had put out dead air to America. Any truth behind that?
Yes, I'm sure that happened. Again, that wasn't something that happened during my regime, but I believe it afterwards. Dan got angry at the fact that some of the news programming was preempted for entertainment or sports, and exhibited his discontent by walking off the program.
Doesn't that strike you as the height of unprofessionalism?
Quite, yes, very much so.
And yet it didn't seem to end his career as it might have other people in different circumstances.
If you would have been running the show, maybe if Richard would have been running the show, perhaps it would have ended Dan's career.
Well, what I never could understand about Dan's career was that he was never better than number three in a three-person field, and so I wasn't quite sure why his career was as lengthy as it was, apart from what he might have done with taxicab drivers and other associated people.
Well, you're in good company, because most of us viewers have wondered the same thing over the years.
I've said this.
Go
ahead.
That
Neil.
Jane Pauley, his replacement, is once again taking the number three position.
Yeah, Jane Pauley.
Not Jane Pauley. It's
Katie Couric.
Katie Couric.
Oh, Katie Couric. Sorry.
Jane Pauley has passed her prime, as it were.
The person who first replaced Rather was an old friend of mine, Bob Schieffer, and he did very well. And I thought he was on the way to moving into second place. And I think the corporation would have done well to keep him rather than buy Katie.
Somehow, Neil, are you still there? Okay.
I just heard the other day that the person running CNN, who pretty much ran it into the ground, was then hired by MSNBC, and they did a similar service for that network. And now I heard that CBS had just brought him aboard. Have you been keeping current with that?
No, I haven't. I don't know anything about that. I'm not a big consumer of network news, except for, I must say, public television news.
Well,
that's very interesting. So, Neil, I think you might be interested in ask Richard what he likes to listen to on PBS.
Well, at the risk of sounding redundant, all right, what do you, Mr. Jenks, enjoy watching on PBS?
Well, I like the Jim Lehrer show, which is at 6 to 7 here every evening. And as you know, it's Monday through Friday. And I think it's the best news program on the air. Lehrer is the best interrogator of other people on the air, although Charlie Gibson of ABC is very good in that area. I think they've done very well to put him on in the evenings.
Well, I've always enjoyed the fact that they could get into stories in a more in-depth way rather than just doing sound bites.
Right, because after all, on the evening network news, it's a half-hour program, and by the time you delete the commercials, it's more like 24 minutes, 23 minutes, and that isn't very much time to give to the day's budget of news.
I notice when I'm reading articles on the Internet about companies that are traded publicly on the stock market, that the writer will insert at the bottom of their column whether or not they are holding a position financially in that company. And it always bothered me that, as an example, since we were talking about Dan Rather, that he can give news that verges on opinion and never mentions the fact that he goes to Democratic fundraisers in Texas, and that his daughter was intimately involved with politics in Texas. But don't you think that viewers have a right to know some important information such as that when they assess the opinions and stories of an anchor person?
Well, I don't know. The press in general ought to give them this information, even if the anchor man doesn't. But it's tough
but
for the...
they're on the same team, so I'm not big. We got to hold my breath for that.
That's true, but how often do you expect them to confess to such a heinous crime as having a daughter that is in Democratic politics? You wouldn't want them to do it on every program.
No, but possibly after a story that is particularly critical of the Republican administration.
Of course, every Republican, at least every conservative who's listening to someone like Rather, already knows from what they say on the air where they are located on the political situation.
What I want to, it didn't always used to be that way, Richard. And I want to know what changed, when it changed, and why. I mean, when Cronkite was on, you never knew what his politics were, I don't think. Am I wrong?
If you're wrong, I think you're only a little bit wrong. I think Walter was a, what might be called a liberal centrist. He was liberal, but he didn't make a big issue of it. I think what happened was the change in the atmosphere generally, and particularly the change that happened in the 60s generation due to the disillusionment of the Vietnam War. After that, the left became much more vocal. And it became much more apparent whether a person was a man or woman on the left or not.
Hmm. Okay.
The other thing that might have some relevance on this as to why the media seem to have swung left, I cannot for the life of me name one conservative journalism school. And if the schools, like Columbia, have a left-wing bias, and when you talk with students who tell you that they're going into journalism because they want to make a difference, or that they're really turned on by the concept of advocacy journalism, how could reporters be expected to be neutral, much less conservative?
Well, I think that's true. Most journalism schools are, as indeed colleges and universities are in general, quite left of center. I was impressed recently to find that my father's alma mater, which was Brown University, has in its entire faculty only one registered Republican, which I think is carrying things too far.
Mm. All right,
thank
Neil.
You so much for your thoughts and opinions. I appreciate it.
Well,
okay,
enjoyed talking
thanks
with you.
For calling to calling KSCO. Here's our next caller, Margaret in Santa, question mark.
Hi, good morning. Happy New Year.
To you too, Margaret.
Well, it's an honor to speak with you, Mr. Jenks.
Well, thank you for saying so.
Yeah. Well, last night, I was watching basic cable TV, you know, the $12.99 a month basic cable TV at 11 p.m. And I heard so many swear words, I was shocked. I mean, G-damn, the S word, the F word, the A word, all on TV. And how can the general public contact the FCC or who to put a muzzle on this foul TV broadcasting? And, I mean, I remember when Johnny Carson would fear for saying the word crap, you know. Is there some website that someone can, that's allowed a list of who's who to contact in the TV media world?
Well, before I answer that, let me make a couple points. One is that there is a federal Indecency Act that applies, however, only to broadcast stations and not to cable networks. So
it's another ridiculous thing that should be changed.
Means that cable considers itself freer than broadcasters to do pornographic light and to do it much of the time. So as for the cable station or cable location or the internet location you might find, I would suggest the Federal Communications Commission, just on general principles, your congressman, your senator. One other thing I'd suggest is that there's an organization known as the Parents Television Council, which is the leading lobbyist in the whole field of broadcast content, and they testify on Capitol Hill, and they influence senators and congressmen very effectively. And the late, great Steve Allen was the former president of the Parents Television Council, and there are a number of other former broadcasters on their board of directors.
So yeah, I heard how effectively they've been lobbying last night.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Real effectively. I can't even get television unless I pay Comcast to pump in a line.
Or DirecTV or Dish Network, right? Those are really the only three choices.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Parents TV Council, putts.
Yeah.
Putts. And why is it that the news is so tabloid? What's up with that?
Well, I suppose it's because people don't have as much patience as they might have for spending a lot of time on the news. They'd rather spend time at their computers or whatever else they do from a recreational standpoint. And for most people, news or listening to news is not recreation.
Richard, do you remember a man named Mel Wax?
No, I don't.
Okay, he's still living. He lives in the Bay Area. And he used to do a local version. I think it was called Newsroom back when I was going to school at UC Berkeley in the late 60s, early 70s. Do you remember that, Margaret, perchance?
No.
It was Newsroom on KQED. It was a very long, in-depth, local newscast, and it was highly regarded. It was highly regarded, much like, the Lehrer report is that you're talking about now. And I was just curious if anybody remembered that. Margaret, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Appreciate it. Next up will be our own Dave Allen, who is...
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
What can I say? Another day on the other side of the ground.
Yeah.
Anyways, going back to what you guys were discussing a few minutes ago, about CBS, NBC, ABC, blah, blah, blah. Katie Kirk, like he said, took a gamble, bought her in, and she's struggling in third place. And I have a comment to be, well, I think that people are conditioned to see a news anchor man. That's not mean sexist, it's just a fact. News is something the man brings home with the meat and chops the wood. It's something we want to hear about the worldly affairs, not the local gossip. But this is my opinion on it. Also, who started this new thing of standing there reading the news? These people behind a desk with papers of important stuff to hear about. Now you stand there like an MC, like Jay Leno, Johnny Carson would do a monologue. Everybody can stand up and look at you in the camera and poise and read the news. Like Miss America, what would you do to save the world kind of thing? I don't know. It don't seem substantial.
Well, if you're asking me a question...
What's the question?
Who started this new fad of standing in front of the camera?
Okay. Well, my impression, sir, is that most newscasters broadcast from behind rather elaborate desks.
Right.
Now, there was an exception to that in the old days, and that is that the White House correspondent, at least the CBS White House correspondent, would broadcast from outside the White House and would do so in a standing position.
Right, right.
Which, in the case of my friend Bob Pierpoint, kept the viewers from realizing that he was wearing tennis shorts as he was broadcasting because the camera only focused on the upper part of his body.
Right. But now all the news anchor people stand there, and the camera kind of zooms in like a voyeur. They read, they tell you the headlines. Nothing substantial being, read about. And I think one of the reasons Katie Kirk is in third place is because, people used to see in Anchorman. And they feel that everything with Katie Couric did kind of tabloid. And I don't know if she will command the same respect as even Dan Rather, who I would really care for. Because Katie Couric's been too public. We've all followed her husband, Diane, and her annual colon exam on TV, live cameras. Now, we're supposed to watch her tell us devastating news, everything that's so important.
Well, I would hate to think that that gender bias is the reason why a single woman anchor has not been successful on television. That's entirely possible. I just think they haven't found a very good one.
Yeah.
The PBS women who work with Jim Lehrer on that show, I think any one of them would be an excellent anchor woman.
And you made a comment about Walter Cronkite. I'm originally from the Northeast. And the Cronkite always came across as Uncle Walter. And kind of like East Coast, Northeast Coast, get Yale and all the universities. So Walter Cronkite kind of came across as a somewhat of a progressive establishment, educated professor kind of person. Leaning to the left, but state central.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that he leaned to the left? Or did you feel
He,
see, I never picked that up. Huh, I'll be darned. Maybe I just wasn't all that politically attuned.
Hey, another thing before I go. So President Ford died.
Yes, he did.
Got his money's worth. And I personally think James Brown did more for the world than Ford did.
What a terrible thing to say,
Dave. What did Ford do? All the stars of not throw some gasoline down. Ford slept in on Nixon's coattails because that was a rage for him to give Nixon a pardon. The guy couldn't even get elected against Carter, God's sakes.
Well,
and, James Brown actually prevented many thousands of kids from going to prison by encouraging them to stay in school, make something. You want to anger? Seek it out. Don't beat it out. And I think, to me, he kind of got swept under the rug because President Ford died.
President Ford did not have a lot of charisma and was not a winning politician and would never have been elected on his own. But he was a fine, decent, honorable human being. And for that particular period, and after all, he only served as president for between 2 and 3 years.
Right.
For that particular period, he was probably what we needed.
Yes. Anyway, that was my comment.
Okay, Dave. So who's your guest tomorrow on Sundays at 4? Or do you have one? You don't have one yet?
I'm still excited if I should go on a rampage.
I think you should go on a rampage. Why not? Okay, well, thanks for calling the Saturday special.
Right.
Take care. Happy New Year. Dave Allen, host of Sundays at 4 with Dave Allen. And at 5 o'clock, he goes into his music mode. And there ain't no better decider of really cool music to play in here than Dave Allen. And if you haven't heard his show, make a mental note to be near KSCO, be near a radio where you can pick up KSCO, or be near a computer where you can pick up our internet stream at KSCO.com every Sunday beginning at 4 p.m. Okay, Mike in Santa Cruz will be next on the Saturday special. Let's go ahead and bring up Mike, and then we've got Larry in Fremont and Chris in Santa Cruz. Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I didn't call to talk about Gerald Ford, but I'd like to comment on that very briefly. Anybody can go on the internet and type in Ford, Kissinger, East Timor, and you'll see Ford's and Kissinger's complicity in the massacre of 200,000 innocent people. And then you will no longer consider Ford to be a decent person. So maybe Mr. Jenks could report on that on one of his two-minute specials. I would like to ask him, though, about the meaning of his piece on Lot's wife. It was aired just a couple of days ago, maybe yesterday, I'm not sure. What was your intent with that one, Mr. Jenks?
My intent was to exhibit my small store of knowledge on the subject of the Jewish religion, and in particular my admiration for finding out that they have a custom in the bat mitzvah ceremony of challenging a young person, 13-year-old girl, to study the Bible, to stand up on her 2 feet and give a talk about it to her elders, and to be free to express her opinions of what she finds out. I think that's an excellent thing, excellent way of bringing a young person to maturity. And as I closed the program with, a lot better than mastering PlayStation 2.
Now do you understand, Mike and Santa Cruz?
He seemed to carry a note of criticism regarding God's word. And as though the girl had made some magnificent point of God's injustice by turning Lot's wife into a pillar of salt.
Well, I didn't mean to convey that impression. There are, you know, the interesting thing about stories of that type where you suffer death if you look back is that they're found, of course, in Greek literature, in Orpheus and Eurydice. They're found in California Indian culture. I have a book of California Indian folklore in which you have that same thing. And what it means, beyond the fact that you shouldn't disobey a very powerful God, what it means is subject to great theological debate, and I'm not a theologian. I think one thing it might mean is that if your conscience spurs you to do something, you had better obey your conscience, and God presumably is the keeper of your conscience. Or maybe it just means you ought to be forward-looking and never look back. But I didn't presume to judge what it meant, nor did I mean to say that the biblical story is a trivial one or a mistaken one.
The overall tone, I've listened to 40 or 50 of your pieces since you began, and I always listen fairly carefully as best I can, but I'm not entertained. The passage meaning is very simple, that her heart was still in Sodom. In other words, she was given to that lifestyle, and she was a Sodomite. And she was unwilling to turn from that, really. That's why she looked back, because she wanted to see the city that she loved one last time. And the understanding of the passage is clarified by the words of Jesus Christ himself in Luke 17. I know you don't want me to read scripture on the air, Mr. Z, but through verses, say, 29 through 33, if anyone cares to look it up, regarding his second coming and those who really would prefer earth life the way it is rather than going on into eternity with him, they will be like Lot's wife also.
Mike, thanks for your call, okay?
Right.
You take care. It's 10:52. Actually, 10:53 now. We've got 7 minutes remaining in hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special with host Richard Jenks from 2 Minutes with Richard. And we got Larry and Fremont up next, then Chris in Santa Cruz, but we've got to run some commercials. So, Dave, if you're there, take it away, and hopefully we'll be back in a few minutes here, okay? Stay with us.
Hi, you guys. It's me again.
Oh, hi,
now,
me.
I know you're all familiar with Dr. Wallach's great longevity supplements. But have you ever thought of all the great gift ideas that you can get from reading the Longevity catalog? Of course, the gift of good health with a Pig Pack or Pig Pack Plus is priceless. But there are so many other ideas. Wonderful, indulgent skincare products and packages better than anything you find in the stores. Essential oils for aromatherapy, relaxing bath salts, pet products, products for the home, even soil conditioner for your favorite gardener. It's one-stop shopping for everyone on your list. I'm telling you, you really got to check out this catalog. Call me, Sophie Winnick, at 335-3216. 335-3216. I'll get you set up. Or email me at tastyvitamins@yahoo.com. You can even go to vitamingoddess.com. Check it out. You'll be glad you did. Vitamingoddess.com.
KSCO and KOMY Radio. is looking for an intern addition to our newsroom. The individual should be someone with an excellent command of English, both verbal and written, be flexible in the workplace, have a pleasant speaking voice, and have a good sense of humor. The position is part-time, including weekends and evenings. Apply to Rosemary Chalmers at 2300 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz, Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. KSCO and KOMY Radio are an equal opportunity employer.
Hi, everyone. This is Judy DeVilbiss. You know, life is about a lot of choices. My choice was to get involved with the Youngevity Company. So every morning, I get up, and first thing I do is go out into the kitchen, and I mix up my 90-nutrient program from Youngevity. I love it, but best of all, about 6 months ago, or maybe a little longer, I decided that I'd like to go out and try running. And actually, I go out and I compete. And to my amazement, I'm actually coming in first in my class. I've actually won 3 first prizes, which really makes me feel great. Hey, come on, I'm 66 years old. I'm not brand new. But I'll tell you what, every day when I'm going to race, the first thing I do in the morning is take the Ultimate Classic with the Rainforest, and I shoot it down, and then I go about my business and go out and do my run. I just did one today, and hey, you know what? I won. Come on, 888-352-7500. Don't you want to be a winner? 888-352-7500.
I guess that's it. We're back on the Saturday special. We got about 4 minutes left in this hour. Let's go to Larry in Fremont, who's been waiting for 11 minutes and 52 seconds. Go ahead, Larry. You're on.
Thank you. I wanted to comment on something that Richard was saying. He was mentioning that one of his favorite sources of news or favorite media outlets is the McNeil Lehr News Hour.
Right.
And I wanted to point out, this is a news source. I mean, it's sort of almost paradigmatic in that it's so completely one-sided. It's just completely unbalanced. Now, we can't expect any news source, a news program to be 100% balanced, and they shouldn't even try. I mean, of course, you might have more, men than women or something like that. I don't think that's terrible, but on important issues, you should have people from both sides. On the, for instance, on the Iraq War, the McNeil Lehr Hour in the year or so leading up to the war did not have none. No people representing the opposition to the war at all. None. Now, they did have some of their own spokesmen, people like Tom Oliphant, who are sort of staff, who did, represent, did make some critical comments about the
Larry.
What? About the build-up to the war.
Larry, can it be that you are accusing PBS of being slanted in favor of the right? Surely you can't be suggesting that. Surely.
But that wasn't really my point. My point is simply that it's unbalanced. I'm not really concerned right or left. I'm not really, as you know from talking to me, I'm not really a right-left kind of guy. And I don't really like, I don't really buy into this dichotomous way of thinking, dividing right from left, because I'm all over the place.
You were listening to KSCO for many years and participating, because I know you used to call a lot. Then you were gone for years, and now you're back. Is it possible that you're back because, in your mind, we are making more of an effort to be balanced on KSCO?
Actually, it's probably just because I think it's mainly because I now have a computer and I can listen to you guys on the internet, and I've completely burned out on almost every other radio station. So you're one of the few I still listen to.
That's because there is no other good radio station.
Hardly anything else. I got to say that the Pacifica stations, college stations, those are good also. But KSCO represents what's wonderful. What used to be really great about radio are independent stations. Now, your station is kind of a it's sort of a anomaly, because on the one hand, I mean, back in the day when I listened to you guys, you were scary with the right wing stuff. I mean, it was like, I don't want to insult you, but sometimes it was almost like Hitler radio. It was just really mean, creepy.
The Metro newspaper.
Host after host represented that point of view.
Well, the Metro wrote a cartoon with on my mother, a parody, a cartoon on my mother that had a swastika on her her sleeve, which was a terrible, terrible thing to do. Hey, Larry, gotta go. This is KSCO Santa Cruz. Okay, we'll put you on hold. Here's the news at 11 o'clock here.
I'm Karen Stewart. The world saw the death of a dictator today. Saddam Hussein hanged for committing crimes against humanity. Iraqi state TV showed guards in ski masks placing a noose around Saddam's neck.
The legacy of destruction that he has left is going to take many, many years to heal. But the healing process can now start.
Zuhair al-Nahar from the Shiite Alliance. World reaction was swift today.
Iran and Kuwait, countries invaded by Iraq under Saddam's rule, welcoming his hanging. Iran's state-run television saying with the execution of Saddam, the life dossier of one of the world's most criminal dictators was closed. But a different reaction from Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, who on Friday called Saddam's trial illegal.
Fox's Rudy Bakhtiar. President Bush has issued a statement. He did it about 90 minutes after the execution.
In a written statement, the president says Saddam Hussein received a fair trial, the kind of justice he denied the victims of his brutal regime. Mr. Bush says the trial is a testament to the Iraqi people's resolve to move forward and create a society governed by the rule of law. Calling this a difficult year for the Iraqi people and U.S. troops, the president says bringing Saddam Hussein to justice will not end the violence, but he says it's an important milestone. In Washington, Mike Makowicz, Fox News Radio.
Meantime, an uptick in violence in Iraq today.
There was a large bombing in Kufa, which is a Shiite city outside of Baghdad. At least 16 people were killed when this bomb was planted on a minibus, some of them women and children.
That's Fox's Clarissa Ward in Baghdad. An angry mob, meanwhile, killed the man believed responsible for that bomb. The National Guard helping Colorado residents dig out after a second blizzard.
I've been asked to ask Colorado to stay off the roads if you can do so. We're trying to discourage unnecessary travel.
That's Colorado's Governor Bill Owens. You're listening to Fox News Radio. We're fair and balanced.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education. 1-888-511-SAVE. On the web at save.org.
Final preparations are being made at the U.S. Capitol for the state funeral of former President Gerald Ford. His body arrives from California later today with security tightened, with extra police being called in. Ford's body plans to lie in state at the Capitol Rotunda.
We'll approach the Capitol and stop for one moment in front of the World War II Memorial, because for 4 years, Gerald R. Ford was in the United States Navy. Servicewomen will be gathered there and give the passing president's hearse a long salute. Why? Because in 1976, President Ford signed legislation that for the first time allowed women to attend U.S. military service academies. The first graduating class graduated in 1980.
That's Fox's Major Garrett. Next week, Ford will be buried near his presidential library in Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's music from the public funeral for James Brown, the godfather of soul, in Augusta, Georgia right now. More than 8,000 fans and friends filling an arena that bears his name. The Reverend Al Sharpton is officiating. Brown died Christmas of heart failure. He was 73 years old. What started as a holiday nightmare for a North Carolina couple is shaping into a better new year.
Biological mother under arrest in Canada after she failed to return her 17-month-old twins to their adoptive parents in Raleigh, North Carolina. A custody agreement allowed Allison Lee Ketz to take the infants for a few days just before Christmas, but she never returned them to Denise and Kevin Needham. Acting on a tip, police safely recovered the infants in Ottawa, Canada. Officials with the FBI Victim Witness Program arranging for the Needhams to travel to Canada to bring little Tyler Lee and Holly Ann back home. Mary Regal, Fox News Radio.
And in Cuba, the Communist Party newspaper reporting Fidel Castro has telephoned the Chinese ambassador to wish him a Happy New Year. I'm Karen Stewart. You're listening to Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, Saturday, December 30th, 2006. Looks like today you can expect sunny conditions with highs around 60 degrees. Winds should be light and variable. Tonight, you can expect a few passing clouds with lows around 40 degrees. Again, winds should be light and variable. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with highs around 60 degrees. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with lows around 40 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, northeast winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming west in the afternoon, with wind waves 1 foot or less and a west swell 2 to 6 feet at 13 seconds. It's just about 6 minutes after 11 and time to take you back to the Saturday special with your host MZ, right here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville.
So, hey, that's a cool song. I never heard that before, Dave.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
What is it?
It's some guy named Chris Brown, and the name of the song is Run It. But it's younger people's music. It's actually, once the singing is added to it, it's actually pretty crappy.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Well, well, well. We have received a email from Steve in Watsonville about Wikipedia's take on the Rather incident.
Sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Okay, welcome to hour number two of the Saturday special, 7 minutes past 11. Chris in Santa Cruz Mountains, you've been waiting for a long time. Wait just a little longer, we'll put you on, and we will invite other callers to the Saturday special with MZ and Richard Jenks. 479-1080 is the phone number to call. If you want to ask a media question or you want to ask Richard what favorite newscast he listens to, now's your chance to do it here. Let's see. Here's the email I received a while back from Steve in Watsonville. MZ, here's Wikipedia's take on the Rather incident. Perhaps you can pass it along to Serial Faxer. And for Mr. Jenks, please tell him how much I enjoy his pre-noon balloon two-minute commentaries. They're always well thought and delivered in his wonderfully cozy voice. Make for a very pleasant radio quickie, or should I say nooner. That's from Steve in Watsonville. Okay, now let's see if there's not too much, I'll go ahead and read what he said, just for the benefit of all of us here. Okay. Kenneth, what is the frequency? In October 1986, as Rather was walking along Park Avenue in Manhattan to his apartment, he was attacked and punched from behind by a man who demanded to know, Kenneth, what is the frequency? While a second assailant who also chased and beat him, as the assailant pummeled and kicked Rather, he kept repeating the question over and over again. In describing the incident, Rather said, I got mugged. Who understands these things? I didn't then and I didn't now. I didn't make a lot of it at the time, and I don't now. I wish I knew who did it and why, but I have no idea. The incident and Rather's account led some to doubt the veracity of Rather's story, although the doorman and building supervisor who rescued Rather fully confirmed his version of the events. The story entered popular lore and remained unsolved for some time. The incident inspired the song called Kenneth, What is the Frequency, by the band Game Theory in 1987. And in 1994, the band R.E.M. released the more widely known song, What's the Frequency, Kenneth, on the album Monster. It became the subject of many jokes over the years and slang for a confused or clueless person. Rather was a good sport about it and actually sang with a band when they performed the song on The Late Show with David Letterman. In 1997, a TV critic writing in the New York Daily News claimed to have solved the mystery and published a photo of the alleged assailant, William Tager, T-A-G-E-R. Rather confirmed the story. There's no doubt in my mind that this is the person. Tager is currently serving a 25-year prison sentence for killing NBC stagehand Campbell Montgomery outside the Today Show studio in 1994. According to the theory, Tager, who apparently is mentally disturbed, was convinced that the news media was beaming signals into his head. It is further alleged that he demanded that Rather tell him the frequency of the signals. Okay, let's see. In December, almost done here. In December 2001, the issue of Harper's Magazine, writer Paul Limbert Allman concluded that Professor Donald Barthelme, who died in 1989, had somehow orchestrated the attack through other unnamed persons, citing unusual passages in Barthelme's writing, including the phrase, "What is the frequency?" A recurring character named Kenneth, and short story about a pompous editor named Lather. Anyhow, just absolutely amazing how, if you want to know anything about anything, you just go to Wikipedia on the internet. Wikipedia, it's just amazing. Just amazing. 10 minutes past 11. Okay, Chris in Santa Cruz, you're the only caller on the line now. We want to thank you for waiting so long. You're now on the air.
Oh, thank you, Mike, for having me on, and happy New Year to your gentleman, Richard.
Ditto.
It's a real pleasure to speak with you. I had a couple questions for Richard, if I could, and one for you, Mike.
Go for it.
Okay, great. Hey, let me preface this by saying I'm personally pretty upset that you're considering I know I wanted to ask you why Savage is no longer going to be on, but
I'll tell you. I'll be happy to tell you.
I'm glad I got a chance to ask you that, because I went to you last couple times. You brought it up over the last couple weeks, and I was like, I couldn't get on the phone or whatever. But that, you know, replacing him with Alan Combs is just, you know, you're going to lose. I mean, I'll listen to you otherwise, but if Alan Combs comes on when Savage is supposed to be on, I definitely won't be listening.
Okay.
You
have a right. Not to listen.
I'm sorry, so I know business is business, but I'm just letting you know that me and a few other people that I know will definitely not listen to Alan Combs. The guy is mind-numbing, and that was one of the questions that I wanted to ask your esteemed guest there. Richard, I don't know if you've had a chance to see Alan Combs, because MZ is getting ready to replace Mike Savage, so I don't know if you've heard him either, but he's getting ready to replace Mike Savage with Alan Combs, and I wanted to get, and I'm sure MZ would like to hear as well, if you had an opinion as to Mr. Combs's, his the way he goes about, handling himself on the radio and television.
Can you help me? Go ahead. Oh, you didn't hear that?
Didn't hear that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Here, that's okay. No. Could you hear anything, or was it just not loud enough?
But it was at a level, at a sound level that I couldn't hear.
No, it's probably on our end here. Let me just repeat it for okay. I'll just, our caller Richard wants to know what you think of Alan Combs. I don't think you've ever even heard Michael Savage. Am I right?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
but you're talking closer to Alan Combs. I do see on Fox cable news, and the two of them, Hannity and Combs, I think do a pretty good job of disagreeing on major public issues. I happen to agree with Hannity more often than I agree with Combs, and I guess that's about all I have to say about Alan, who I understand is often heard on this station.
Not on this station, on KOMY, on the smaller station. Yeah. But what we're talking about doing is come next Monday, when we are no longer licensed to carry Savage, We are probably going to, it's an easy, interesting thing to do. And that sparked quite a controversy among our audience. Many people like Chris feel that it's just a terrible thing to do.
Like you can't, you know what I'm saying? I mean, to be honest with you, you can't go from Mike Savage to Alan Combs. I mean, that is just, that's a triple jump leap.
And why?
Olympics that a lot of people, I don't think.
Well, first of all, Savage was on a recording at that time, and Combs will be live, so you'll be able to call him and argue with him if you don't agree. And I would encourage you to do that, and he will engage you. He won't hang up on you like Savage did. That's not the reason we're not carrying Savage. The reason we're not carrying Savage is because he got too expensive. We can't afford to carry Savage.
Now, I don't know how the radio business works, but I guess...
I can't understand you. You know, Chris, there's something wrong with your phone. It's all muffled. It's really hard to understand. If you could call back on a different phone, it would be great, because I really would like to engage with you here. But
can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but you don't make any sense. I mean, you're just all muffled and muttered. No wonder Richard couldn't hear you. I can't even understand you. You got a bad phone, my friend.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
You know, call back on another phone if you can. That'd be great. Okay. There's nobody else on the lines. I'd like there to be some more people on the lines, but we don't need more people on the lines if they don't want to call. But if you want to call, it's 479-1080. If you want to fax, it's 475-2967. If you want to email, it's mz@ksco.com. And I'm MZ with our guest today, Richard Jenks, who does 2 minutes with Richard. Couple of great essay for a couple of minutes that we open the Noon Balloon with each day, and it looks like we're suddenly getting jammed phone lines, so this is good. All right, Stuart, let's put Stuart on. Stuart, you're on the air on KSU.
Hey, Michael.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I want to segue with the previous caller. I am really going to be sorry not to hear Savage, because your station has always been like the eclectic extreme. You've had people like Phil Hendry, who I just love to listen to and never think of calling him. And then you've got this bombastic Michael Savage, the same thing. And in the evening when Michael Savage is on, it's great entertainment for me, because the only other thing on at every station is that Cosmic Bliss and the Art Bell and his crowd.
Yeah.
You can get him on the big station to the north. You can get him on the
as you can get Savage live.
No, I'm talking about in the evening. There's the only person to listen to is that pompous bigot at the big station to the north, and then all Art Bell. There's nothing else available. And Savage was high entertainment. I like to hear Michael Medved, because he always had the best calls. He would encourage. Or he would only take people who disagreed with him, just like Phil Hendry.
I would encourage everybody who's upset about Savage's demise. Excuse me, his demise on that's the wrong choice of words. I would... poor choice of words here. But you know what I'm trying to say, that with the end of Savage on KSCO... that they just listen and give us a chance, gang. Honest, this happens every time we change programs. People get all upset because people are used to what they're used to and they don't want to change. People are creatures of habit. I'm telling you, whether it's Combs or someone else, it's probably going to be Combs. It's probably at least for a trial period to see how it works. I think that people, even you, Stuart. After you, if you give it a chance for a week or two, you're going to call me back on one of these introspective Saturday specials and say, MZ, you were right. And it's great because I can call him and I can reason with a guy and I can have a conversation with him. You can't do that with Savage. If you don't call him up and lick his you-know-what, then he hangs up on you and calls you names. And I don't particularly like that kind of radio, you know. But that's not the reason that we're getting rid of Savage. The reason we're getting rid of Savage is he got too expensive. You know, the syndicator, who was a very good personal friend of mine, changed the deal, and the deal was no longer acceptable. We have to give. Well, Medved is another story. Here's the story. If you like KSCO, what you like about it, chances are, is the fact that we are independent and we're different. And you are going to hear less and less syndicated programming on KSCO. Otherwise, I'm going to put the station up for sale and sell out to Hispanic broadcaster or some ethnic broadcaster or something, because I don't even want to be in the business if all I'm going to do is be a conduit for something that you could hear at 1,000 other places or 1,000,000 other places now because of the Internet. I'm not interested, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not interested in being a conduit. I'm interested in providing our own custom, locally produced content, some of which will be good and some of which will be garbage. But after a while, hopefully the good stuff will far outweigh the garbagey stuff. Okay, and that's the way it is. Now, we're going to continue to have Limbaugh on as an anchor tenant, if you will, but we're moving in the direction of having very few syndicated radio programs, because it has occurred to me that if you want to have KSCO and the Zwirling family to kick around much longer, ladies and gentlemen, we have to move in this direction or else we're going to die. It's as simple as that.
How about some local comics?
Fine. It's fine. We're interested in local, innovative content, not the same old garbage that you can hear thousands of other places now with the Internet. Before the Internet, you could hear Art Bell and Michael Savage and Rush Limbaugh on several other stations. You know, they were scratchy, you know, coming into the Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey market. So chances are if you wanted to listen to that stuff, you'd listen on our station. But now it's a different world, and people who want to listen, they want to listen to what they want to listen to, when they want to listen to. Technology is such that they can do that. And we're going to die as a radio station. We're not going to be able to survive if we don't create our own content primarily. So people have to come to us if they want to hear a particular content, because we're the only place they can get it.
Well, if the advertisers...
Do you understand what the situation is here?
Oh, I do. If the advertisers won't come, how about doing like a pledge drive or something where folks
a begathon like public radio and television does. Okay, we could do that. I mean, we could do that. I'll beg right now. Send money if you like listening to this radio station. You don't have to be an advertiser. Send us $10 like Pure Heart does every once in a while, or $20 or whatever. There's some wonderful people out there who just send us a little bit of money, whatever they can afford, because they like us and they want to help us. And I'm not BSing when I tell people that it's really, 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 really hard to run this place, and it gets harder and 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 harder every day. It's the honest to God truth, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I'm an appreciative listener.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
You take care. Hey, Laurel in App, that was Stuart, and I don't know where Stuart is from, but he's a nice person. And Laurel in Aptos, you're on the air on KFCO.
Hi, MG. I think this is the first time I've ever called into a talk show.
Well, welcome.
And it's probably the first time I've ever, on a regular basis, listened to a talk show. Mm-hmm. My husband and I moved from over the hill, Los Altos Hills, here to the Corralitos area a couple years ago. And he's been a faithful listener to all the radio shows that, as you say, pump out the Medveds and the Rust and everyone else.
Yeah, they're great shows. Don't get me wrong. But I don't get you wrong.
Yeah. I don't listen to them. Uh-huh. What I enjoy, my husband does. Don't get me wrong there. He loves those. But what I enjoy are all these local shows. So I just want you to know that you have a listener out here who only listens to
great.
Your program.
Great.
And I'm glad to hear that you accept donations, because we're happy to make one. And do you have a PayPal account that we can use to do so?
Wow. I do, but I forgot what it was because I haven't used it in so many years.
Well, rev it back up and make a link to your website or something like that.
What a great idea, Laura.
There's probably a lot of us out here who really want to make sure you make a go of it.
Yeah, well, what I'll do is I'll create a KSCO PayPal account, because I had a personal one for some reason, but it wasn't a KSCO one. Yeah, it was for buying and selling things on eBay, which I did once or twice. But yeah, that's a great idea. We'll set up a KSCO. Oh, bless your heart. That is great.
That's a Silicon Valley brain for you.
You're the greatest. Thank you very much. And yeah. I think Laurel just kept us on the air for another week. That's great. All right, thank you, Laurel. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Bye now. Here's Big Gun Gordy in presumably San Lorenzo Valley. Is that where you are, BGG?
Well, I'm above the valley. Yeah. Well, good morning, Michael and Richard.
Good morning.
I'm glad to speak with both of you. And your previous caller, you know, points out the fact that, Michael, you do have the smartest listeners.
Oh, but by design. We don't permit stupid people to listen to the station.
Right. Richard, I have a couple of questions for you.
Shoot.
First, where did this concept of balanced news come from? And do you think that that is detrimental to actually reporting the facts?
No, I don't. When we talk about, you know, the issue of balanced news didn't really seem to come up in the past because everybody assumed that news was news and opinion was opinion and never the twain should meet. And a guy like Ed Murrow, for example, sincerely believed that he was giving only the news and not opinion. That was not altogether clear. And in any event, you really can't altogether exclude opinion because your choice of the news indicates which side of the fence you're on, just the choice of the subject matter. But I think when we got into cable news, which is clearly a mixture of opinion, mostly opinion, and sometimes very angry opinion, then the difference between straight news and opinion became much more apparent. I think that's what's happened.
Okay, now, what do you see the direction as far as news in particular is going, especially in regards to the monopolistic practices of the communication medias?
Well, I think most people who have strong or even not so strong political opinions want to hear those opinions validated by someone else. In other words, they want to be agreed with. And so, you know, they choose Fox if they're conservatives, and they choose CNN if they're liberal, and that's the way it goes. I don't know that we'll ever get back to the kind of broadcasting in which we made a really effective effort to separate news and opinion. I think maybe we should, but we haven't.
And as the Grand Wizard, if you had your magic wand, is there any one thing in particular you'd like to accomplish?
You mean if I were still in the news business or still in the broadcasting business?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, I'd like to see more people like, for example, in the great era of CBS News, I'd like to see more people like Eric Severide, or more people like Ed Murrow, or more people like, any of the group.
Was Severide a journalist, or was he not a commentator?
One thing, a recent call-in person here spoke about the journalism schools and how far left they generally are. It's important to recognize that in the era of Murrow and Severide and the Murrow boys, there weren't any newsmen who came out of journalism schools to speak of. None of those people did. Richard C. Hodlett, for example. These were mostly liberal art graduates of great colleges. Severide majored in philosophy, for example. Murrow, oddly enough, majored in speech at Washington State University. The notion that you had, that in order to be a newsman, you had to go to a journalism school is a fairly recent one. And by recent, I mean only in the last few decades.
Thank you very much for being there for us. I really appreciate your commentaries. I do listen to them every day faithfully. And I'd also like to pass on a good word for Dave Allen. I enjoy his programming, too.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad to hear that you listen.
Okay, Gordy. Thanks for your call. Take care. I don't know who's on line one, but someone is on hold, so I will punch up line one and hope it is. Who is this?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, my name's Craig. How are you?
Craig, I'm good. How in the world are you?
Pretty good. And I apologize. I was listening, and then I jumped out of the car. I heard a woman ask about the PayPal account. I'm very interested in sending some donation over. And reason for it, I'm actually different things, but I'm a ham radio operator locally here.
lived here about 4 years. Prior to that, I lived on the other side of the hill, and very interested in AM broadcast. Used to listen on my shortwave when I was much younger, and listen to stations all over the United States because it was actually kind of fun back then. Now everybody does it on the computer, but I remember a few weeks ago you had a really great hour or 2 hours with a gentleman talking about old broadcast radio, and was actually had met some of the folks at KYA back in the late 50s, early 60s.
That's Dave Jackson, who's the director of the Bay Area Radio Museum.
Yeah, and just to mention, I had been there and met Super Harlow and all these great people, and it was a lot of fun. But, you know, you bring up a really, really, really good point. The advent of Internet has done so many great things, but one of the things that it's done is it's really hurt businesses such as yours and even mine. I'm a professional photographer. Making it easier for people to get information and to do things themselves. Of course, a lot of people don't want to do that, but it gives you choices.
I wonder if it's... I don't agree with you. What was your name again? I'm sorry.
My name's Craig.
Craig. Yeah, Craig, I don't agree with you that the Internet has hurt our business, KSCO. Maybe I should agree with you. Maybe I'm not bright enough to realize that you're right and I'm wrong, but I don't think so. I believe that I embrace the new technology, unlike so many broadcasters who are scared to death of it. I think it's just a wonderful thing because it tends to level the playing field. You know, as time goes on, KSCO can become as powerful as KGO. Because, you know, it's the great equalizer because if a station has good, captivating, innovative content, then there's no barriers to entry now than there used to be. The best radio station in the world was not economically feasible until recently because there was a good chance that no one would be able to receive it. And now anybody can get on the Internet and proclaim themselves a webcaster.
Right.
And if they're a good webcaster, ears are going to find their way to listen, and eyeballs are going to find their way to view in case there's some video content, which there might be on KSCO.com. Now, during the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be on vacation, but I'm not going to be on vacation from thinking about how we're at a great crossroads with both radio stations. We have a smaller station that needs to be entirely reprogrammed because we have determined that the liberal talk radio from Air America and probably any liberal talk radio at all, it just ain't commercial. There's a reason there's no commercial liberal talk radio. It just doesn't pay. People don't want to listen to it, and they're certainly not going to pay for it. Businesses aren't going to pay for it in terms of advertising.
Right.
Now, they'll pay for it like they have been paying for it for years in NPR in the form of donations and so forth, donations to the cause, if you will. And Limbaugh told me that himself, you know, on the radio right after we started putting Air America on and found that after 5 or 6 weeks we hadn't sold an ad, and his show is largely sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't understand. This guy has made a terrible mistake. He doesn't understand that liberal talk radio is not about commerce or business. It's about supporting the cause. And he was so right. He was so right.
Right.
And so we're at a point right now where we might even lease the radio station out, the KMY radio station, to somebody who has an idea of what to do with it. Or we might program it all to be innovative, classic KSCO programming from over the years. We have hundreds or thousands of hours of stuff that no one can ever imagine, you know, was broadcast, and it's good quality stuff. We put some of it out on Christmas Day when every other station was doing Christmas music. I said, no, we're not going to do Christmas music. We're going to be different. So we pulled out some old riveting Saturday special programs where we had some really good articulate guests that were going at it, And we have a whole bunch more of that kind of stuff. We also have some stuff from Dave Jackson, who from Bay Area Radio. I asked him if there are any rights concerns, and he says, no, it's all in the public domain because it's over 18 years old or something. So we might be doing that. There's all kinds of things we might do, but I got to think about, where we're going with both radio stations. I can tell everybody that as long as the Zwirlings are involved in the ownership of KSCO, it's become as clear as can be to me that we have to generate our own content largely, or else we're going to die. And it'll be the third or fourth time I've said that on this radio broadcast. Why don't the other independent radio stations understand that? You gotta somehow figure out a way to serve your community with your own innovative content that you can't get anyplace else, or you will die.
Absolutely.
End of story.
Yep.
Okay.
You hit it on the head, and then but it's not up to just you. I'm glad to hear that over the last number of weeks you've had your listeners give you some input. I'm not also sure. I'm still a little confused because I'm not also sure they know what to put on a radio station, because it's got
everybody's a program director, you know.
Exactly. It's just like being your backseat coach.
Sure.
Regardless.
But we love the listeners anyhow, because we love the ones who care about the radio station enough to become part of it. That's what we want. We want to draw them in.
And I bet you there's a lot of people out there like me who just. I guess my second time I've called in to a radio station, but really, really, really enjoy everything I hear, even if I don't agree with it. Phil Hedry was very entertaining. Whatever happened to him?
He retired.
Okay. Yeah. He was talking about that.
But, and instead of putting Mike Savage on, which everybody thought we should do, we got phone calls from every syndicator in the radio business, because they're all salivating over getting their mitts into our afternoon drive time. I said, what are you going to do after Henry retires? And Rosie or Rick would say, we're going to be doing local programming. And you could hear the phone drop on the other end, or the people's jaw drop to the ground, because nobody ever does that. It's just it's presumed that you're going to pick up some other feed somewhere from some other content provider. Forget it. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah. And
not from
way,
us.
Really,
I'd sooner sell
that.
Out than do that.
I really enjoy that drive time program that you have. The only thing I notice is that I can't get the station when I'm on the other side of the summit, more towards Santa Clara end. So
you should be able to in the daytime when there's something wrong with your radio. And at night we power down, so we're a Monterey Bay station only at night. Yeah. But in the daytime we're a regional California station. I've heard KSCO all the way in the daytime up to Tahoe.
Yeah.
You know. So, okay, well, Craig, thanks for calling, okay?
Can I get the PayPal account, or is that something you're going to put on the
web? I will put it on the web as soon as I get it. I'm going to get it going this afternoon, and
perfect.
I'll put it up on the web sometime later today or on the weekend.
I will make a donation. I really appreciate it, MZ. Thank
you. Thank you, Craig.
Okay.
That's really, really nice.
No,
James in Livermore, our next caller on the Saturday special. Hey, James, you're on. Hello? Hello, James. It's funny, it says James is there, but James isn't here. So I'm going to put James on hold. Maybe he went to relieve nature's internal pressure or something. Chris is back from a different phone. Let's see if we can understand Chris this time.
Hi, Mike. Can you hear me better?
A little better.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Is Richard still there? Can you hear me?
Sure. I can hear you very well.
Okay. Thank you. Hi, Richard. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I just want to start before my phone dies out. Hey, your commentaries are great. I'm not of age to have known you when you're around the industry, but I really appreciate your 2 minute little commentaries there. What I wanted to ask you was touching on the, isn't there a law against this multimedia outlets? You know, how does Soros get away with owning so many? You know, he owns movie industries, he owns magazine outlets, he's got his hands in Fox News.
Who are you talking about?
Soros.
Oh, Soros?
Yeah.
Soros has nothing to do with Fox News.
Oh, no, he doesn't. He doesn't have anything to do with Fox, no?
Nothing.
No.
That's...
Oh. Okay. I already got off track there. My question, Richard, was what do you think of the coverage of the, you know, how much coverage there is of this war as compared to, say, we'll just take the Second World War, for example,
And, specifically there was a writer for Time magazine that, you know, had covered the Marines killing a couple guys, and now they're on trial. You know, they're on trial for, and they're facing the death penalty. I just kind of like to hear what you had to say about that, if you had any comment on that.
Well, I'm not sure I know quite what your question is.
Well, just the coverage compared to how many, you know, the coverage we have of the war now, with the amount of media outlets in the war following people around, following the soldiers around, as compared to, say, the Second World War. I mean, yeah. If we had as much coverage in the Second World War, I don't think we would have won that war simply on public opinion, because, you know.
I think you're absolutely right. The you didn't used to have daily elaboration of death and mutilation and mayhem the way you do now, and it's very hard to hear a barrage of that material and still believe in the purpose of a war, even if the war is well thought out and well conducted. And I agree with you. We might not have been able to have victory in World War II if we had the same reportage of World War II that we now have of the Iraq War.
Right. I'm not old enough to remember, but I can see an old film. You can look at old movies and stuff, and they used to have the movie tone news come through, you know, in between the movie and show you. But it was mostly just positive about, you know, our soldiers are doing this or that. And, you know, there was none of this negativity just 24/7. I know there was a film when we invaded one of the islands down there. There was a film that won an Academy Award or something. It was an invasion of one of the islands down there. And after that film came out here in the United States, you know, everybody really got upset about it, because it was, you know, it showed from beginning to end, you know, what our soldiers went through down there, and enlistment dropped and the whole nine yards. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, that's true. And if, you know, if a person on the left really thinks that that America is an imperial bully, they obviously are not going to entertain very happy ideas of the war. And you have, therefore, a block of public opinion which doesn't think well enough of their own country, I think, to enthusiastically back that country's military strategy.
Right.
And that's a shame. That's something that grew out of the 60s. That we didn't really have in this country before then.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, hey, thank you guys. Thanks for your time, Mike, and I'll continue to listen to your programming.
Thanks. Thanks for calling, Chris.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Happy New Year. Here's Richard N. Watsonville, our good buddy. How are you, Richard?
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
What is PayPal?
PayPal is an easy way for people to use the internet to make contributions or to pay for articles that they buy on eBay or whatever.
Oh,
it's a great way for people to be able to accept payment with a credit card, for example. It takes 10 or 15 minutes to set up a PayPal account where you can tell people, here, just send me an email and you can pay me. You could buy something from me or put some money into my bank account in a very secure way using PayPal dollars or using a credit card of your choice.
PayPal dollars.
Yeah.
So I can go somewhere and buy PayPal dollars and pay you with PayPal dollars.
Yeah. Well, you can PayPal. You could buy some PayPal dollars from PayPal.
If it takes you 15 minutes to set up a PayPal account, how long does it take you to take my money?
Oh, you just send
it. Instant, huh?
It's all automatic. It's all automated. You just get on your computer and say, I want to pay. I want to send money. You click on send money to, and then it asks you to use the email address that you want to send money to. In my case, it would be mz@ksco.com. It's going to go right into the KSCO bank account. It's not going to go into my personal account. I need the money to keep the place going.
Well, you know? I understand all that. But I think that until you go completely live, I mean local live.
Yeah, live local.
Get rid of all this feed stuff that comes in.
Yeah.
We're going to be nowhere near competing like we should be.
Yeah.
And then And then I'm thinking maybe we should just go ahead and become a commercial nonprofit.
Okay. Well, that's basically what we've been all the 16 years. It's going to be 16 years that our family has owned the radio station, KSCO I'm talking about, on January 31st.
Right.
So we're coming up on 1 month. 1 month from now, it'll be 16 years we've been doing this.
All right, let me ask Richard a question.
Sure.
After the lawsuit with the Smothers Brothers, you pulled the Smothers Brothers off of there.
Right.
And then they sued or something, and they got some money. How long after that did you last? I mean, did they get upset with you for doing that, or whatever happened to you?
Well, nothing much happened to me. Yeah, they were very upset with me. They were very upset with CBS, and they felt unjustly terminated. And they were a reasonably popular show. I mean, and they had a future in television. It was a tough thing to terminate them. It really was.
Because, well, they were just trying to sabotage you guys.
Well, I don't know.
They got standards and practices back then and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, but, you know.
They didn't want to go by the rules, huh?
You know, we're talking about now, we're talking about the late 60s. I think it was 69. 68 or 69, and those were, you know, kind of wild years.
Well, the Vietnam War was in full swing.
The Vietnam,
people that
right.
were for it and against it.
Right, and the pot revolution was in full swing, and
you had people for and against that.
You had people for and against that, but young people in general were in a kind of revolutionary mode, and the two Smotherses were of that ilk.
But they're old people now.
They are old people. Whether or not they still have the same political and social views they once had, I wouldn't know.
One of their wives, Marcy Smothers,
yeah,
is on KGO now.
No fooling.
On the overnight.
Uh-huh. Well,
and she doesn't sound anything like the way I would expect one of them to sound like, you know?
Yeah. Well, good.
I have no idea. Do you remember... Ray Barnett and Frank Oxenrod or Frank Knight, are those guys at KCBS?
No, I had nothing really to do with KCBS out here. I mean, we had 13 radio stations, and KCBS was one of them, but I...
How were you able to own 13 stations? There was a time when you could only own one AM and one FM, right? When did that change?
We're talking about network. No. Richard, that was only within the same market.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, in fact, I thought there was a limit at one time that you could have five, I guess it was television, wasn't radio stations. A network like CBS could own no more than five network-owned and operated television stations. You could affiliate with jillions of them,
well,
you know. But.
Yeah, with one exception, that you could also have a UHF television.
And
we had an experimental UHF station in Connecticut in addition to our five owned television stations. And then, of course, in radio, we had our full complement of AM and FM radio stations.
And that's where Turner came in with his superstation on 17, huh?
Right. Right.
And that was UHF.
Yeah. That's right.
Unreal. And now it's what, TBS or something? It's not even called the superstation anymore, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then did WGN come after that?
You couldn't prove it by me. There were elaborate rules about whether or not you could own a newspaper and a television station in the same market.
Oh, I remember that.
And there were also,
that.
You know, there were also overall national limits on the number of stations you could have, just as we've discussed. But those have been removed, and you have.
And now we can go back and make deals with the newspapers and become crooks again, right?
You have radio station owners now who own dozens of stations.
But they don't own newspapers yet.
Right. Nobody owns newspapers. Speak
of. You see a day where we're going to unite and become friends with the newspaper guys and the TV guys in advertising?
Well, yeah, some stations.
They frowned on that a long time ago.
Yeah.
Richard, we got to move on. Thanks for your call. Take care. Here's Brian with a quick question for Richard. We will get to all of you if you're on the air, if you're on hold here. But go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, The one thing that disturbs me about Iraq and the United States is it seems like our federal government can't get the idea that if we patrol the borders rather than the cities, we could stop the insurgency because they'd stop being able to enter the country. And that's pretty much my take on this particular
story. What's your question for Richard, which it says you have?
I just wanted to make a statement. It wasn't a question.
Well, let me just comment. I too have entertained the idea that if you could only keep insurgents from getting willing martyrs coming in from Jordan and Syria and so forth, that they could solve the problem. But you got to remember that Iraq is a country as big as California, and imagine patrolling California's borders to keep people from coming out, coming in here. It's
We'd have a lot less casualties because we wouldn't be.
Oh, we would, but how do you patrol thousands of miles of border?
RPVs. Remotely piloted vehicles and that type of stuff.
Well, anyway. I like to think that if it could be done, we'd be doing it.
Thanks for your call, Brian. Here, let's try James in Livermore one more time. Are you there, James?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry
okay.
about that.
Yeah. Okay, you're on.
I just wanted to speak a little bit about the situation with both your radio stations and how important I think it is, just in general, regardless of what programming is on. I prefer to listen to you guys, and I live in Livermore.
Wow, thanks.
I love Santa Cruz, and I love the fact that I don't really get KLMY, but I pick up the KSCO signal a lot better. And, even I could be listening to, FM radio, and at the top of the hour, just try to tune it in just so I can listen to the local news and the kind of production value that's at KSCO, because, there's something about it you just tell that it's not, it's not a bunch of machines and robots in some dimly lit closet, beeping and flashing and stuff.
We're real people in dimly lit closets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea. And in terms of what to do with the other station, KOMY, I don't know. It's totally non-political and it's kind of geared towards the classic rock demographic. But there's certain radio personalities. I don't know if you heard of Tom Likas at all.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know. I don't even know if you'd consider that option.
It goes back to what I said. We're not going to anything that we produce. If we lease out the station to someone or sell it to someone who's got a better idea of what to do with it, that's fine. But if we're going to do it, we're going to do local content, or something that's original that you can't get in 50 other places. Because if you keep doing the same thing you've been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've been getting, or you're insane,
Right.
and you're insane if you expect different results. Hey, thanks for your call. Thanks for your kind words, okay? Appreciate it, James.
All right. Take it easy.
Take care. Now, I think we've got a commercial break, Dave. We got Direct Electric and what else?
Let's see. We got about a minute and a half that needs to be played.
Okay. Well, let's go for it.
Okay.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet's been serving the Monterey Bay Area since 1994 with high-quality, affordable Internet service. At GotNet, we take pride in offering a higher level of personalized service. Our customer support technicians are knowledgeable and friendly. We're here 7 days a week to serve you, from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. during the week and noon to 5 on the weekends. GotNet is ready to answer questions, solve your problems, and get you on your way. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
Your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. Hello, I'm Priscilla Christie of Direct Electric.
And I'm Dave Christie. Whether your problem is a light switch, breaker box, meter main, or anything in between, Direct Electric technicians will fix it right the first time for the right price. And here's the best part. Direct Electric will not bill you for a service call.
I don't think they heard you, Dave. You better tell them again.
Okay. Direct Electric will not charge you for a service call.
And if you have an electrical emergency, call Direct Electric at 425-1407. I'll rouse Dave and he'll come running.
Priscilla is right. If you have a real electrical emergency, the kind that just can't wait till morning, call Direct Electric and we will come running.
Remember, your electrical problem is no problem when you call Direct Electric. I will take your call.
And I will make certain that your problem gets fixed. Call Direct Electric at 425-1407. That's 425-1407.
Okay, welcome
Welcome back to the Saturday special, closing minutes thereof. We've got Larry in Aptos, Jerry in Prunedale, Don in Soquel, and Scott in Boulder Creek. So why don't we do it in that? Well, actually, Jerry in Prunedale has been waiting the longest, so let's bring him up. You're on the air, Jerry. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, Michael, I'd like to congratulate you on your idea. I think it's the most innovative thing I've heard in radio.
What's that?
The idea of local programming, and I love your morning show. My job requires me to be a lot on the road a lot.
Uh-huh.
I leave in the morning at 6, and I start listening to Rosie, and it's great. And then Rush comes on, and I still stay with you.
Uh-huh.
And then on my way home, I'm listening to your happy hour. And you used to have a show with a guy that was a sports guy / personal advice guy, and he was hilarious.
Evan Stone, he's coming back. He told me he's coming back in January or maybe February at the latest.
I'm glad to hear
he's
that.
Great.
I am so tired of hearing constant fear mongering, and that's what most of these syndicated talk shows do. They're selling you fear.
Yeah.
I get tired of people telling me that if you vote for me, if you vote for this guy, you'll get a car in your garage and chickens, and everything will be great. If you vote for that guy, you're going to lose your job, and you're going to. And it's on and on and on. And it's so negative. And it's so boring. And it's so repetitive.
Yeah.
And it's just so refreshing to have something like Rosie on in the morning to start my day.
Yeah.
And it's nice when I'm coming home and I get a few laughs on my way home.
Well, look, thank you for thank you for congratulating me for being innovative. But to me, it's a no-brainer, you know.
It is. It really is. It's great. It's a great idea, and I really hope it works. This is the radio station. I've told so many people about it. They love your morning part. They love your afternoon part. They have the same. You know, I'm 58 years old. I went from being the wide-eyed idealist to the super conservative to the disillusioned.
God, you and I are both now part of the group that doesn't matter. You know, the 55 plus.
Exactly. You know.
Yeah.
It's nice to do a good once in a while.
All right. Hey, thanks.
And thank you for that.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay.
Take care now. Happy New Year. Here comes Larry in Aptos. Larry, you're on the air.
Yeah, a couple of corrections. It's Rupert Murdoch who owns Fox.
Right, right.
Yeah, and he's a right winger. And there's a guy by the name of Mellenscaife. I don't know a lot about him, but I know he's a right winger, too, a heavy Republican donor. And he's got a lot to do with the corporate media, from what I understand. I just wanted to mention that. And the other thing, too, regarding what another caller said, you know, this Iraq insurgency, 95% of it is Iraqis living in Iraq. There's very little of it coming actually over the border from outside. And again, I don't know where people get these ideas. They're getting misinformed if they think it's the other way around. You know, I think we probably have tried to do a lot of border checks, but you know, in the north part, that's pretty much Kurdish territory, and I don't know what they're doing. They're supposed to be our friends there. I just want to say, you know, regarding I'm one of these people who, I love my country, but I am very critical of it, and I think we are an empire with the wrong people in charge right now.
Well, I sure wish this wasn't the end of the program.
Acting as bullies.
Sure wish this wasn't the end of the program, Larry, because I would like to talk with you a lot more, but there just isn't time. We got to go to Don in Soquel now. You're on the air, Don.
Oh, great. Michael, what's
yeah.
the chance of getting Vernon on for more than 1 hour a week?
We'll talk to him and find out.
Okay, and for Richard,
yeah.
was it in the...
Wait a minute. Wait. You said Vernon, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk to him. Now, did you want to hear Richard?
Yes, I want to ask him a question. Was it during the Vietnam War when all of a sudden the congressional people became experts on how to conduct a war?
Well, yeah, I suppose so.
What happened here? I have to bring your volume up. Go ahead, Richard. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that war lasted so long and created so many casualties, more than 63,000, I believe, that everybody became an expert and everybody became dumb.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, you bet. There goes Don and Soquel. Here comes Scott in Boulder Creek, our final caller to the Saturday special for 2006.
Michael.
Hey, you deserve a prize. What should it be?
it's my honor to speak with you gentlemen. Richard, I look forward to your 2 minutes at Before the Noon Balloon every day.
Oh, I can't tell you how much I enjoy hearing that.
I can't tell you how much I enjoy hearing you. Recent polls demonstrate conclusively most people get their news through conventional sources, newspapers, radio. Very few get through bloggers. Okay, that's good news. And it's also very good news you're keeping Rush. When he was sick, he used to put me to sleep. Maybe he was so clever he only got his own jokes back then. Uh-huh. But now I absolutely love the man. He keeps my heart and me laughing 3 hours every weekday. I think he makes Phil Hendry look like a piker. He's the best comedy show ever, and I urge all conservatives who used to listen to him in the old days when he was serious to give him another chance. It's a riot. He's totally funny.
Okay.
God bless you. Happy New Year, Michael.
And that goes for you too, Scott in Boulder Creek. Thank you very much for your kind words. Okay. Hey, that about does it. Jeez. I mean, this is a historic. I'm getting all choked up. Because, like, that's the last caller of the last show of the Saturday special for 2006. And it's been great to have you on, Richard, and look forward to hearing from you more, both on your essays on the Noon Balloon, that opened the Noon Balloon, and maybe some guest shots with us and so forth.
It's a great pleasure for me to be your guest.
Okay, great. So that's about it. Stay tuned for Perspectives. They're going to have a really wonderful program today. It's always great, but it's this week in particular, it's going to be extra special, so... go for it, and we'll see you next week, or someone will, anyhow. Yeah. You're listening to KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. It's 12 noon. Here's Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. To the strains of America the Beautiful, the flag-draped casket carrying the body of former President Gerald Ford has been placed on a president.